Colossians, first chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is to all in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much for this great privilege we have tonight in preaching your word, reading it here in this congregation. And once again, as we gather, we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do so, Lord, to give honor and praise to your name, and never forget the goodness of God, and that, Lord, we should always be thankful for all you've done for us. And we thank you again for this day that you've given, for the opportunity to preach your word. And Father, I need your power and your wisdom tonight, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think it's been since, I think maybe it was yesterday, Pastor Jerry returned from up in Wisconsin with Cheryl's people, her folks and family. They spent the Thanksgiving there, and what a precious time of year this is, Thanksgiving. What a precious goes in then to Christmas time. And the subject that I'm going to be preaching on tonight, it's not a once-a-year thing. It's not something that just should happen at Thanksgiving or should happen at Christmas time, but it's something that should be a part of our whole life. And I mentioned to him about an individual, I said to him, I said, that individual has something that impresses me greatly. And we talked about it, and I said, it's because this individual has a thankful heart, a grateful, thankful heart. And I think I made the statement to him, that'll take this individual a long way in life. And so tonight, what we're going to preach on is the subject of the giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Now, most of the epistles, if you'll notice, in verse number three, it says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse number three talks about the giving of thanks to God. Now, most of the epistles that are written to us, most of them, not all of them, but most of them in the first few verses of the epistles have something about being thankful. Also, the epistles that was written to the churches have that. The epistles that are written to individuals, I think maybe all of them but Titus, has also that in the beginning of the book. Paul writing and talking about he was thankful, or admonishing them to be thankful for certain things. So we find that is not just a subject that is once in a while found in the Word of God, but it is a subject that is found over and over and over in the Word of God. And here we find it there. He is giving thanks. He said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Here we find Paul is giving thanks. In other places in this book, we find that he is admonishing them to give thanks. And I'm just going to show you those real quickly. He says in verse 3, he gives thanks. Him and Timothy gives thanks. But then the other times, and I think there's five of them in the book of Colossians, he tells them to be thankful and grateful. And if you'll notice in verse number 12 of chapter 1, giving thanks, he's admonishing the Colossian believers. He says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. If you'll notice also in chapter 2, verse number 7, rooted and builded up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Once again, he talks about in chapter 3, verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful, he says. In verse number 17 of that same chapter, and whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Once again, admonishing them to have a thankful heart and to give thanks for certain things. In chapter 4, in verse number 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, what he is doing throughout this book is he's admonishing them. He's setting an example in verse 3 by giving thanks. And then throughout the book, he admonishes them to be thankful, to be grateful. Now, the Apostle Paul, as we'll find out in a minute, because we're going to look at three things the Apostle Paul was thankful for in these first few verses. There's three things basically. Now, that was not all he was thankful for. I'm sure of that. And I'm sure throughout the Bible there's many things that is expressed thanksgiving for. But here he gives us three basic things that he is thankful for. Now, first of all, it is the Colossians at Colossae. He is grateful for the church there at Colossae. And I might say to you, you'd say, well, he had a right to be, this was a perfect church. Well, it wasn't. It was a church like any other church. It did not have the attribute of perfection. It had its problems. It, in fact, if you read through this book, you find one of the problems was legality. Touch not, taste not. They was also observance of certain days. Now, we're not talking about to observe a day, but it became very important to them to the point that it became necessary for them to observe those certain days. They had some problems at Colossae just like any church does. Did you understand that? Did you understand even we here at Blessed Hope, you know, we always need to be the lookout on things that we're maybe not doing correctly? That's the way you stay straight with the Lord. Amen. So that is true. And that's what it was with Colossae. But he was saying here, the first thing he was thankful for, giving thanks for, was the people at Colossae. The church that was there at Colossae. He was very grateful and thankful for those people. Now, what does giving thanks mean? The word has some different meanings, but I'll give you a few words that it means. It means well. It means good. It means grace, and it also has the thought in it of joy. And what he is saying to us as you read this, that he gives thanks, there's a joy in his heart for the Colossian people. There's a joy in his heart for the church that is there at Colossae. And basically, when we talk about giving thanks with joy in our heart, when we can give thanks, that expresses something. That tells us something. When we can give thanks, it tells us that the heart is full of joy, because joy is what brings thanksgiving. Now, let me say this also. Expressing with the mouth, that's the way we express what's in our heart. And we're expressing to those thanksgiving to the ones who is helping us. And if you'll notice throughout this, as we'll talk about it, it's always the giving of thanks to God. Now, let me say to you, people may help us, but the basic is that God is the one that helps us, even if it's people who God uses to help us. And it's God always that deserves the praise and the honor. We may thank individuals, which is right and proper for us to do, but ultimately in our mind we're saying, oh, thank you, God, for the people you sent to help me. Thank you for them being a blessing to us, but thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done. Paul and Timothy both, in verse number 3, if you'll notice, he says, we give thanks. And he just spoke of Timotheus up before that. He says, we give thanks. It was not just Paul alone, but Timothy also was very grateful for the things that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. The first thing was, he was thankful for the church and the people at Colossae. And he was giving thanks to God. If you'll notice, in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he gave thanks to. Folks, always remember, keep that in your heart. Remember when you give thanks, even if it's to individuals and things that people has done for you, give thanks unto God who has allowed it or provided it. Because it's always God who does it. When we start pouring these kind of praises upon men, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. And we don't need to do that. We need to praise God for what he's done. Thank God for the people at Colossae. Thank God they're being used of God. But it's God that Paul was giving the thanks to. Now, what was he thanking God for? Well, first of all, as I said, he was thanking God for the Colossian church, the people there. And yet, at the same time, as I told you earlier, thankful for them, but they still needed corrected. Folks, don't ever get tired of being corrected by the Word of God. The Word of God is good to us, and it is right and proper for us to be corrected by it. Don't ever grow tired of that. If you grow tired of that, you'll stop growing in the Lord. Because there's not an individual in this room that does not need corrected by the Bible, the Word of God, in their Christian life. Every one of us need that. Don't forget that. It shows the love of God when God corrects us through the Bible, the Word of God. Now, why was he thankful? We'll give you a couple things that he was thankful for. If you'll notice, in verse number 4, he said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. First of all, he was thankful for their faith. I don't believe he was just talking about a collective faith. I believe he was talking about, he said, your faith. I believe he could look at the individuals and the people in the church of Colossae, and he was very grateful and thankful for the faith of those people. Each one of them was living separate lives and yet coming together, serving God together. But Paul here was so thankful for the faith that he seen in them. So grateful for the testimony that he had heard of the great faith of these people. Now, on down we'll probably mention this more, but Paul got a report that the faith of these people was wonderful. They was doing well. And I say to you, it's right and proper for us to have a good testimony of our faith. I was thankful the other night, if you wasn't here on Wednesday night, there was a lady that does not tend here regularly, but it comes once in a while and tends. And we had after the preaching, we had a testimony meeting. And she stood and she said, I'm very thankful for how Christ is honored in this church, uplifted in the pulpit. Now, to me, that meant a lot. That wasn't bragging on any of us. It was bragging on what God was doing. And I say to you, that is proper. That is right. We always must honor Christ. If you will take a little trip around the country and visit a few churches, I don't suggest you do that, but visit some churches around the country, you will come away discouraged a lot of times, but by the praise that's put on men, you become discouraged because, folks, that's not what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ and what he has done. Amen. And we always want to remember that here at Blessed Hope. We're not going around putting praise on men, no matter who they are or what their name is. We're going to thank God and give praise unto our wonderful Savior. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the proper way to do it. So he said, I'm very thankful for your faith. And not only that, it was their faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, it was not a false faith. It was a faith in Jesus Christ. And that's where all of our faith must always be. In Jesus Christ. They had their faith in the right place. And I say to you at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let's keep our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Always keep our faith where it's supposed to be, in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, I'm very thankful for your faith. You have a good faith. It's well reported that you have your faith. I believe that a church is known by its faith. That's why I'm encouraging you. One of the things is just an outward thing. But one of the good things about the building program is there's been a lot of good things said about the Lord because of the building program and its progression. And that establishes that we are a people of faith. We are trusting God to finish this. That's who we're trusting. You see, his reputation is at stake. Because he's the one who's promised to do it, to provide. He's the one. And so again, I say to you, a church ought to be known by their faith and their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not only that, in verse number 4, since ye heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Another thing that they were known for and he talked about was their love of all the saints. Now, I want you to listen here just a moment. The Bible says in 1 John, listen to what in 1 John it says, the 3rd chapter, 23rd verse, and this is his commandment. Now, listen, what he said was, this is his commandment. Whose commandment? The Lord's commandment. The Lord Jesus Christ's commandment. That ye should believe on the name of the Son of God. First of all, that you should believe on him. Amen. We're to believe on him. And love one another. Now let me just give you a truth here. If you'll notice, the command was that you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You believe upon him, all right? And then love one another. Vertical faith in God always comes before horizontal love for people. Always. Vertical faith in God. Believe in him. Put your faith and trust in him. Right relationship with God. And then the horizontal love for people comes natural. Amen. That's why no matter what the situation is, and I do it in my own life, I try to watch for the little red flags that raise up in my life. I have them. The little red flags that raise up and say, that says to me, look out, you're not doing right in this area. It may be an attitude. It might be pride. But those little red flags start rising and waving before my face. And I know that when that happens, I need to deal with it immediately. Watch for those red flags, folk. Watch for them. They're there. God's warning to us. They're there. Be careful. Because we must have this correct before this will be correct. Amen. See, we've got this messed up theology. We think that we can be right with God and wrong with people. But if we're right with God, we'll also be right with people. They go together. Amen. See, that's why you hear your preacher talk about it. I'm getting there on forgiveness. I'm getting there one of these days. I haven't got there yet. I told you I'm going to be preaching. I haven't got there yet. But forgiveness is one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself. I'm not even talking about other people, but forgiveness is one of the great things that you can do for yourself. Because, it releases you from that bondage. See, when you have people that you have oughts against, and I mean you harbor those oughts in your heart, You're not free. You're not free. And you've got to get rid of those. Those are flags that God raises before our faces and say, why are you holding those? What are you holding those things for? Now you need to get that correct. You need to get that forgiven. You need to give that taken care of. Why? So your vertical relationship with God is correct. Amen. And then you can have the horizontal relationship with other people. Amen. So, and just remember this. I'm not preaching on that. Honestly, I'm not. But remember this. No matter how another individual receives you or receives even your forgiveness or your I'm sorry, that doesn't determine how you and your relationship with God is. You get it right as far as you're concerned. Some people won't receive those well. God doesn't ask that they do. That's their problem. But you get it right. Amen. You see to it that your life is right. Amen. So anyway, their love for the brethren here, because he said their love reached all saints. All saints, no matter where they were, they had a love for all saints. Why? Because they truly believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a right relationship with God, and then that love spread horizontal to other people. Now also, they was not only thankful for the Colossian church and the Colossian people there, they also was thankful for the gospel. In verse number 5, he says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." I'm going to go ahead and read verse number 6. "Which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." Now we find also that Paul was saying, I'm very thankful for the gospel. I'm very grateful for what it does. And if you notice in verse 5, the gospel brings a hope. It's not a hope-so thing. You notice he says, for the hope which is laid up for you. That was not, well, I sure hope God, heaven is waiting on me. No, he said, it's a sure hope. And the gospel brings a sure hope. I really truthfully feel sorry for these people who think they can lose their salvation. I've said this before, won't dwell on it. But they can lose their salvation one day and gain it back and then lose it. Boy, that's a shame, because they really lose a lot of the peace and joy of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. They really do. So I'm just simply saying to you, the gospel brings a hope. What is that hope? Heaven. Folks, that's a wonderful hope. One day, we'll be in heaven with our God. Do you know multitudes has went before us? Multitudes has went before us, and we also will go one of these days. But we have that hope, and that hope is heaven. You see, I think it was D.L. Moody said, I think it was him that said, if you hear one day that D.L. Moody has died, he said, don't you believe him. He's just begun to live. Amen. Now, we know what people say here on earth. They die. We lose them here on earth. But folks, if they're God's people, they have just begun to live. They have the hope. And if you'll notice in that verse of scripture, in verse number 5, it's definite. It's the hope. It isn't just a hope. It's the hope. And that hope is found in Christ. And not only that, he talks about how it's laid up for you. In other words, it's reserved. I think I talked about this not very long ago. But it's reserved. No one can cancel that reservation. It's reserved for you. It's a hope that absolutely is laid up. It's reserved. And who's it laid up for? Look what he says. And for you. Individually. For you. I mean, you can claim it. If you know Jesus Christ, you can claim it. And where's that hope laid up? He says, in heaven. What a marvelous, wonderful promise. And so the Apostle Paul says, I'm so thankful for the gospel. I'm so grateful for it, because this is the hope, and our hope, let me say to you, is in the gospel, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in verse 6, you'll notice, which is come unto you. Let me say to you, if this gospel is going to be effective in any people's life, somewhere along the line, it has to come to them. It has to be proclaimed. It's one of those things that we try to constantly tell the people, Christian people, folks, you've got to proclaim the gospel. How is anybody going to know if it is not proclaimed? You see, if you notice here, which is come unto you, was there a day when the gospel came to you? Was there? Sure there was. And do you know that other folk cannot get saved until the gospel comes to them? Amen? You see, and not only is it, and we know it is the gospel, the good news, but if you'll notice that in verse 6, he said it's the truth. We don't have to worry about it being a falsehood. It is the truth. And knew the grace of God in truth. And it was this grace of God was found in who? Jesus Christ. And so he said, boy, am I thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for the hope that it gives me. And not only that, for the fruit that it produces. Look in verse number 6 again. He says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God is truth. He said the fruit it brings it to the whole world. Folks, that's why we've got to get the gospel out. We've got to send missionaries, get the word of God out. Why? Because that's the hope of those people. It's the truth. It's the fruit that it'll bring forth to in all the world, he said. And not only in all the world, he said, in you and in all the world. It's the fruit that it's brought forth. Folks, if you're a Christian today, that was fruit brought forth by the gospel being brought to you. I'm sure you're thankful. I look back and I'm so thankful for Brother Elmer Evans. I am so grateful for him. Just an old farmer. Called late in life to preach the Bible, preached it faithfully to the Ross family back in 1966, preached it faithful to us, told us how much Jesus loved us and taught us, and I'm so grateful for that. He proclaimed the gospel. Amen. And you know what? You can look back right now and say, boy, I'm grateful for the gospel that came to me. I'm so thankful and grateful for what God done in sending the gospel to me that I might be saved. You see, that's the fruit, you see. And it that fruit that comes to you and I should be passed on. It'll be passed on. Amen? I mean, folks, listen to me. You ought to be saying amen. You really ought to. Don't you want other folk to get saved just like you got saved? I mean, don't you really want that? Don't you want that neighbor, that person you work with, older, don't you want them saved? I mean, you don't want to go to heaven alone, do you? I mean, won't you be glad if they get saved? Well, the gospel needs to be proclaimed so fruit can be produced. Amen? So Paul said he was thankful for the Colossian church. He was also thankful for the gospel. And then the last thing he said he was thankful for was Epaphras. He said he was thankful for that individual Christian that was there at Colossae. And verse number 7 and 8 he says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. First of all, he was thankful that Epaphras was a servant. He called him a fellow servant. And in fact, he said a dear fellow servant. He's very dear. He was a very fellow servant. And that simply means he was a joint slave with me. That's what that really means. Now, I think we can relate to that. Hopefully you understand that truth. He owns you and I also. He owns us. And we ought to be bond servants. We ought to be slave servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. His will ought to be our will. In other words, also he said he's a dear fellow servant. In other words, he's beloved of God. God loved him dearly. He's loved of the apostle. The apostle loved him, thought so much of him. If you read about him, Apostle Paul loved him so much. And not only that, the church loved him. He was a person who was dedicated to the service of the Lord. He was a servant of God, and he was loved by those who worked for God. Not only that, the Bible tells us also he was a minister. And let me say to you about the word minister there. It's the basis for the word deacon. You know, I see the understanding of saying a minister, but I'd rather be called a preacher. I really would. I know people mean it right, but there's a difference between just being a servant. I'm a servant, and it's different between, because a deacon is also a servant. I'm a preacher, but at the same time, I'm a servant. And the word there speaks of the word minister speaks of the word deacon. And I just happen to believe something. A deacon is to be a servant. That's what a deacon is supposed to be. Now, you understand this. If you've been in Fundamental Baptist Church, that is a good Fundamental Baptist Church, and you've been around where the Bible is preached, you understand this truth, but there's a lot of people who don't. A deacon is never to run the church, never has been designed to run the church, never has been, never will be biblically. Never. You can't find that in the Scripture. See, that's where there's so many problems in churches today, because deacons get a hold of the running of the church. But a deacon is a servant. And it comes from the word there, minister. If you'll go back in the 6th chapter of Acts, you'll find out that a deacon is an assistant or assists the pastor. That's his work. He assists the pastor, and not only that, he becomes a servant to the people. He's a servant. He assists the pastor in the duties that the pastor has given him to do. Let me give you a thought here that I just read this here the other day about the word deacon. I was reading about the word deacon, and here was what one person said in giving the illustration of a deacon. He said it means through dust. The word has the thought through dust. And here was the thought on it. He says, a deacon who is a servant quickly moves to perform his work and leaves a trail of dust by his haste. That he gladly moves forward to do that which he's been given to do, and he leaves a trail of dust because he's hastily moving to get the job done. Well, Epaphras was leaving a trail of dust. I mean, he was moving and getting the job accomplished, getting it done. And Paul said, oh my, what a wonderful man he is. He wasn't just talking about him being a man, but he was a servant, a minister, a servant of God. You see, and he was so thankful for this man. And that's one of the things he said he was thankful for. I'm thankful for the church at Colossae. I'm also thankful for the gospel, and I'm thankful for that individual Christian, Epaphras. Bless his heart, he just serves. And not only does he serve and do certain things, and I'll give you those, but he ministers in prayer. Look at verse number 12 and 13 of chapter 4. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, chapter 4, verse 12, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you, and them that are at Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. You notice there, he says a few things in that verse of Scripture about Epaphras that are tremendous. One of the things he says about him was that he labors fervently for you in prayer. This man was a prayer warrior. Will we ever understand the importance of prayer till we get to heaven? I know I don't take it lightly when someone says to me, I pray for you. I think one of these days I will see the results of the prayers of you people in my life. I think during the difficult times of my life, there was people praying for me, and that's the reason I made it. God answered those prayers and strengthened me in my time of need. And you can say the same thing. People have been praying for you. Epaphras was a man of prayer. He ministered in prayer. What a man of God he was. So Apostle Paul said, I'm very thankful. The last thing you notice is his deeds. He was a prayer warrior, but look what he says in verse number 7 and 8, back in chapter 1. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. The church learned about Paul and where Paul was and the problems Paul was going through from Epaphras. Epaphras was a blessing to a church. He was not one that caused the church problems. He encouraged the people of the church. He brought good report of the church. And vice versa, he brought the church the report to Paul and said good things about the church back in Colossae. Oh, Paul, they're doing all right. Now, I know, Paul, you're going to have to write to them maybe about this legality thing and some problems there, but oh, Paul, they're doing all right. They're fine folk. And they're doing their best. They've got a great faith. Look what he says in verse number 4. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Where did Paul hear that? Epaphras. I want to say to you, the best thing you can do for your church is bring a good report. Just bring a good report. I don't have much patience with people who don't. Just don't have any patience. Doesn't do any good. Serves no purpose whatsoever to bring a bad report. If you need to bring a bad report, bring it to the one who can do something about it, and that's me. I'm the one who can do something about it. But don't spread bad reports through the congregation. That's horrible. That's terrible. Churches have been tore up and ripped apart all over this nation because of that. Epaphras didn't do that at all. Paul said, boy, he told me about their faith. Said, that people back there, they've got a good faith, he says, and also the love that they had for all saints. I'm bringing that report. Now, was they perfect? I've already showed you they're not perfect. Read the book of Colossians. Did they need to correct some things? Sure, they need to correct some things. But oh, they had a love for God. They had a love for the saints of God. If you notice in verse number 8 again, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Paul said they've got a great love in the Spirit. They're following the Spirit of God. And they've got a great love down there at Colossae. Now what I'm saying to you is this. God says be thankful. Be thankful for the church. Be thankful for your church, folks. Somebody testified, I think Wednesday night, said I'm thankful for this church. I think it was Sister Moore's. I remember. I get mixed up sometime who said what. But she said, I'm thankful for this church. That's the right thing to do. That's the proper thing to do. Colossae is not perfect, and neither is Blessed Hope. But we can be thankful for this church and what God has done through this church. Amen. And oh, be thankful for the gospel. You can't find anything wrong with the gospel. Amen. It's perfect. It's that message that everyone needs, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then be grateful and thankful for the individual Christians who are just standing forth, doing the things of God and being faithful, just day in and day out, just doing it day in, day. Be thankful for them. Be grateful for them. Pray for them. Amen. And also, they'll pray for you. That's what the Bible says. Pray for you. And they're busy about getting the things of God done. There's a lot of things around here that got to get done. Amen. Not just buildings and all that. We got to pray. We've got to be prayer warriors. If you're a prayer warrior, thank you for it. If you're not, become one. Amen. Start praying. Ask God to do some marvelous things for us here. We see multitudes saved and see this church go on for the glory of God. Have a thankful spirit. That'll take you a long way in life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness. And I thank you for who you are. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do in the future. And Lord Jesus, we look for you to come in the near future. But Lord, help us to be faithful until you do come, just doing the things that you've appointed us to do. Now, Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Should you be here tonight and you say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure that there's been a time in my life when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm not sure if I died, whether I'd go to heaven or not. God loves you very much and wants to give you eternal life, wants you to be saved, and we invite you to come. You just come and let me know, and we'll get somebody to pray with you and speak with you and take you through the Bible and show you how you can be born into God's family. You may be here as God's child, and maybe you haven't had the thankful spirit maybe that you ought to have. And maybe God pricked your heart tonight about that. It's awful easy, very easy, to become bitter over things, become unthankful, ungrateful for what God has done. It's easy to do that. Amen. Not a person in this room can't do that. Amen. But we need to be thankful and grateful. God's pricked your heart tonight. You say, I just need to come to an altar. Just get alone here with the Lord. You do that as we sing.